joining us today. Thank you so much, Saul, for joining us on the Power Hour.
Glad to be with you, Joyce.
I think everybody knows your name. Everyone has heard you speak, and everybody remembers what happened when you were with Donnie Rumsfeld and you spoke out in that audience. You have been not only a 27-year veteran of the CIA as an analyst, but you have now started coming forward to try and literally save this country from itself and from tyranny, and for that we applaud you, sir.
Well, thank you.
Let's talk about where you are today, given the fact that you have been on the inside for so long, sir.
Well, right now, literally speaking, I'm home speaking with you. What I should be doing is being down there at Lafayette Park, where many of my colleagues and many of the people who care about our Constitution are gathered to protest this most historic Black Day in our country's history, when the president is about to sign the equivalent of the Nazi-era Enabling Acts, which in those days, specifically March 1933, enabled Hitler to exercise dictatorial powers without any reference to the make-believe the parliament that they had in Germany in those days. And that's what we're going to get today. After the president signs, Don Rumsfeld can station his goons outside my door, and as I go to my car, I can be arrested, put in a black hole without telling my wife where I am forever. That's, really shocking.
It is. And I think for the sake of the public that does not know what this is all about, let's just briefly describe what the Military Commissions Act is, sir, that is going to be signed by the president today.
Well, briefly, it's an attempt to retroactively exculpate the president, hold him harmless for violations of the War Crimes Act of 1996, passed by a Republican-dominated Congress, by the way, and for violations of the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act of 1978, which forbade eavesdropping on Americans without a court warrant. What it does is to strip the right of people that are detained, their right to habeas corpus, the right of detainees to challenge their detention in a court of law. Now, that's a big deal. That goes back 791 years. I did the math. The Magna Carta was in 1215. And since then, civilized countries have mostly adopted this petition that is possible for people who are arbitrarily arrested. They can go to a court and seek redress, seek judicial authority to adjust their situation. It also gives the president the power to detain indefinitely anyone, including U.S. citizens, anyone it deems to have provided material support to policies against the U.S. So,
now, could you define for us material support, please?
No, I can't, because it's deliberately vague. In other words, by talking to you this morning, I'm going to be critical of the President of the United States, and they construe that as giving aid and comfort to the enemy, material support to anti-U.S. people. It's deliberately vague, and it's shockingly vague, and, they can do it. And I don't know what kind of redress I would have if habeas corpus is suspended for me. It also gives retroactively, and, this makes me sort of comment sarcastically, is this a great country or what? Mm-hmm. It gives the president and all senior officials, the people who have been involved in torturing people and in illegal wiretapping on Americans, without a warrant, he gives them immunity from prosecution for doing those things back to when they started doing them. And that's, that's really remarkable. I didn't know that you could make ex post facto laws which hold people harmless for violating existing laws, but apparently you can. And what a great country this is.
And like Dave said earlier, it's akin to basically him exonerating himself from any war crimes or any other charges just by saying, stroke of the pen.
I'm going to give myself a presidential pardon is what I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
This is incredible. This sets civilization back over 700 years.
Yeah.
I mean, basically what you're saying here and when the way this thing reads, it just destroys, like you said, you referred to the Magna Carta. This sets civilization back 700 years.
791 by my count.
Okay.
It is
right.
Really ridiculous. Now there is, there are these mealy-mouthed people, including the Democrats who voted for this, who say, it's really unconstitutional, and so it'll go to the Supreme Court, and they'll rule it unconstitutional. But for now, we need to do it. Well, that may be. And we do have the Supreme Court, and if it's not packed even worse than it is now, there is an even chance that it will reverse these decisions. But that's not going to happen for 1, 2, 3 years. It takes a long time, and in the interim, Bush will be able to do pretty much what he wants.
Let me ask you, now, forgive my idealism, okay, but it sounds to me that this is so blatantly unconstitutional that anybody with a half of a brain could recognize the fact that this is not just an unconstitutional act or law or edict or bill or whatever. It is an act of open and blatant treason. Is it any possibility that lawmakers or military people can recognize this for what it is and take necessary action?
Well, there was, I thought, but, on the 29th of September, most of our congressmen and senators voted for it. I was in Missouri recently, as you probably know, and mm-hmm. I looked up some of Mark Twain's quotes before I went, and what fell out of my book was this. Now, there is no established criminal class in the United States except for Congress. Now, I used to think that was funny, mm-hmm. okay? Now, these folks who voted for this heinous act are not only irresponsible, not only crassly political because they're so afraid of being branded supporters of terrorism by Karl Rove, but they are criminals. They swore an oath to protect and defend not the President of the United States, but the Constitution of the United States. And those of us who feel strongly about that are outraged doesn't do it. I mean, for these folks to vote for this kind of legislation is a criminal act.
Well, you know, you have been one of those people that uses the biblical injunction to speak truth to power, which we do on the Power Hour also.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe that, you know, literally the truth will set us free, but we may have to go through some tough times before we get there. And I think that's what we're experiencing right now. Now, as I mentioned to you off air, that Jenna Bush has gone down under the cover of UNICEF to take care of all the poor little starving children with the big fat bellies down there and the flies circling their head. She has gone down there under the pretense of that to purchase 100,000 acres in Paraguay, which is now being reported. She did no news conferences, but Reuters and UPI, or I mean Reuters and Associated Press are reporting that she has gone down there to make a humanitarian mission. At the same time, 100,000 acres of land changed hands. Now, let's just hypothetically ask the question. What if there is the preparation of certain peoples, including vice presidents and secretary of defenses, et cetera, to vacate this country, given the fact that the truth about 9/11 is slowly emerging? People are going to know what's happened. There is going to be, as Dave says, an exit strategy, but it's not going to be from Iraq. Does that make any sense to you, sir?
Well, I hadn't seen these reports. They're intriguing. 100,000 acres. I suppose Paraguay is as safe a place for this crew to escape to as any. But, you know, you can run, but you can't hide. And once Bush and the others leave office, number one, they and their children will really not be able to travel abroad mm-hmm. without fear of being apprehended and brought before the court in The Hague. It's a dismal prospect, and so what does that mean to me? That means to me that these folks who have shown no real respect for international or domestic law will try in the next 2 years to do everything they can to make that not possible.
But it may be very possible this might be their exit strategy, given the fact that people in this country will understand they will not be able to travel. They may have a lot of enemies out there. And this just seems to be the perfect movement before the Supreme Court says, wait a minute, that Military Commissions Act is not a legal document. We'll be right back after this four-minute break. Stay tuned to the Power Hour. Ray McGovern, a 27-year veteran of the CIA, is our guest. Back in 4 minutes with more of the Power Hour. Ray McGovern served in the U.S. Army 1962 to 1964. He was a distinguished Little College graduate. Ladies and gentlemen, we want to take a personal salute from the Power Hour to Mr. Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst. The Power Hour salutes you, sir.
Thank you, Joyce.
You know, I don't care how far it's how long it's been since one has served, those songs still mean an awful lot, don't they?
They sure do. I wish you had played the infantry song rather than artillery, but that's just because of the rivalry that we officers of artillery and infantry traditionally had. At least you didn't play the Air Force song.
Wait a minute.
That's quite low.
Well, we're talking about the real service here.
That's it.
I think he knows I'm former Air Force. I think that was just intentional.
We need to have a little humor for sanity here, Joyce.
I hope you'll pardon my confrontation. That's no problem. You know, seriously, those songs do mean a lot, and we do salute those people that serve for the right reasons. And they're still serving for the right reasons, and you are now serving your country for the right reasons. Now, before the break, we talked about the situation with Paraguay, in which, if hypothetically this is true, and we're talking about a hypothetical situation now being reported by the Associated Press, which is not too hypothetical, but that Jenna Bush has now joined the UNICEF program in Paraguay, and at the same time, 100,000 acres has changed hands. Now, we know that there have been so many things done to the people of this country. They are starting to understand, wait a minute, this is wrong. Now, if the International Criminal Court should intervene, should there be some pressures from the outside, pressures from the inside, it seems to me that this may very realistically be the answer for perhaps the president and his group of, I don't know what to call them, but have created this tyranny in this country. Would you agree?
Well, I'd have to agree, Joyce. You know, when you think about the prison cells or camps that are being prepared by Halliburton for the likes of us, even as we speak, I'm sure that the president would prefer to escape the dog to a place like Paraguay. I'd have to look in a little bit more detail into the evidence there, but
it's all hypothetical.
If you're looking for some place to go, Paraguay, you know, if it's like the Paraguay, I know in discussion there, they're gonna protect people like Bush, and that's probably better than the Mediterranean coast, you know, in on the Riviera, because then it'll be a little bit hard to really quiet.
Right, and especially if they take a good amount of funding with them to do that. But let's go back to this Military Commissions Act, because what we're dealing with, though, here is reality, and reality is that the president's going to sign it into law today. And the one thing that when I printed out this 86-page bill was that I was amazed at how vague it is. Now, I testified in court cases as an expert witness for 15 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you have to define your terms when you are accusing someone or defending someone. However, this is the most vague, non-explanatory version of information that I have ever seen. It's 85 pages of we can do basically whatever we want to do whenever we want to do it.
That's right, Joyce, and when you consider that it was put together finally at midnight, you know, a typical tactic that had been used by the majority in Congress, you'll see that some of the phraseology which limited application to aliens, non-citizens, well, the adjective citizen or the noun citizen has been omitted, and so some of this pertains to us itself, ourselves. The other thing is that, you know, part of the motivation here seems to be that the CIA, or the people that CIA uses as goons to do this kind of torture business, they were reluctant to get involved because of the constitutional decision. This was illegal in international and domestic law. Now, if they read this language very carefully, which I assume some of them will, it's not going to give them a lot of reassurance that they would be immune from subsequent prosecution because of the vagueness of what the president is able to authorize. So.
Now, with all due respect, though, and I'm playing devil's advocate, but at one time, sir, would we have referred to you as a CIA goon? No, I'm serious. I'm not in a negative fashion, but
yeah.
I mean,
what I said was the people, the goons that the CIA employs to do this kind of thing.
You're talking about the contractors
and the folks that they resort to, the folks that they used in Central America don't know if any of the CIA staffers are actually doing this torture. I suspect not. It's
okay, we'll be right back after this 3-minute break with Ray McGovern, who certainly is an American hero for the stand he's taking. Back at 3.
Well, they're handing down in diamonds in the Windy City, too, and they're putting it together, so there's one thing left to do, oh, yeah. Better be a traveling man. Hey, forget about the plan, it's gonna hit the fan, so I better be a traveling man.
Welcome back to Harmon.
Oh, man. So we blame it on the tower. It isn't working anymore, and everybody's finding out that it's propaganda manipulation.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Tuesday morning edition of the Power Hour. How did I know that that song would have such an incredible application? This is
hypothetical story, right?
This hypothetical story. And I have to throw this in here because I don't know when I'm going to get another chance to do it. We're both fired up about this thing. And I will tell you that these laws,
the Patriot Act, Homeland Security Bill, and when they pass one of these vague laws, and now this Military Commission Act of 2006, folks, these bills are not passed to protect us from terrorists. They're passed to protect themselves against us.
Yes,
because when America finds out, there will be hell to pay.
Well, he's just getting ready to sign it on CNN, putting it into effect, ladies and gentlemen. And we have joining us today Ray McGovern. Now, I ask you, before we go back to Ray McGovern, former CIA analyst, please support the Power Hour. You know, keep your strength up, keep strong, keep focused, and know that this is a spiritual battle. And yes, our Heavenly Father is a whole lot more powerful than the Military Commissions Act. And you can turn it over to Him, and it is not. We are not responsible for the outcome. We are responsible for doing the right thing. And I have so much respect for Ray McGovern, because he is doing the right thing. And again, we're not responsible for the outcome. Our Heavenly Father is. But let me just add that before we went to the break, I said, I asked him, if all due respect, was he at one time or would he be referred to as a CIA goon? And I appreciate what his statement was. There's a difference between staff and goons. There is a difference between the people that do the dirty work and the staff at the CIA. And sir, before we start to lump it all together, would you just help us to differentiate this so we can know that there are good people in the CIA who wish to do well by this country?
Well, Joyce, I'm happy to report some recent evidence of that. There have been two national intelligence estimates that frankly have surprised me by their candor. The most recent one that was leaked to the press talks about the increase in terrorism worldwide, both in numbers and in geographic distribution, and says boldly that the invasion of Iraq is the most important factor leading to the increase in terrorism. This was unwelcome news, and what the president has said is that anyone who says this kind of thing has been duped by terrorist propaganda. So here you have the president, by implication, saying the head of his intelligence apparatus, John Negroponte, and 16 intelligence agencies have been duped by terrorist propaganda. Quite remarkable. The other national intelligence estimate addressed the likelihood that Iran could have a nuclear weapon. Make a long story short, their considered opinion was that Iran could never have a nuclear weapon unless it waited for 5 or 10 years in a program that has not been determined to actually exist. Now, my personal opinion is that the Iranians are working to make sure that they can construct a nuclear weapon. I think they'd be idiots not to, given what happened to their neighbor Iraq, who didn't have nukes, and given what didn't happen to North Korea, who does have nukes. So I think they are working on it, but the bottom line is they couldn't possibly have a bomb until 5 to 10 years is the best estimate. So both of these pieces of candor were very pleasant surprises to me. They come out of the analytic section of the agency. The operational section of the agency is very, according to law, very easily used by the president. This work really goes back to it. The president can tell the CIA operatives to do, well, that's the National Security Act 1947 reads, the director of the CIA shall perform such other duties as the president shall from time to time direct. That's the kind of thing that enables the president, with no check whatsoever, to tell the agency to torture or do anything like that, to hire people to do this kind of thing. The only check is for the Intelligence Oversight, the committees in Congress, and under this one-party system where
I know we had Mark Foley's entrance into the media fray the day after, basically, they announced the Military Commissions Act. So it sort of took all the fire out of people knowing that and being concerned about that. And I'm just wondering, you know, what all is involved here? Because is Congress being played like an absolute perfect violin over all of this? People are good cop, bad cop.
I think, Joyce, I got to jump in there. I think that the reason Congress passed this thing is because they know that the American people are going to be just as angry with them for passing all these laws. It's not just Bush trying to save his own hide. You know, I mean, it's I believe that Congress is also going to face the ire of the American people when they finally wake up and realize that they keep on passing these bills like the Student and Teacher Protection Act of 2006 they did 3 weeks ago by voice vote, allowing strip searches of teenage girls for no reason and no warrant.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is insane what's going on in this country.
Yeah, I think that Congress is being played like a violin. But, you know, they're willing Stradivariuses by now. Think of what happened 4 years ago. Rove succeeded in forcing a vote on whether the president would be allowed to attack Iraq just 1 month before the midterm elections. The precedent was the Democrats who voted against George H.W. Bush's war, the first Gulf War. They took it on the chin. Many of them lost offices the next time they ran. And so